Welcome to an episode of the Rubber Radio Podcast. Oh, my throat's a little scratchy. Welcome to the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long the Slasher.
The Slasher.
The Slasher.
The Slasher.
That's pretty scary.
Let's go or I'll kill y'all.
We're doing a slasher film next week.
Next week.
Yeah. So
next week will be long.
That's
long.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Hey, whoa, man. Don't blow your load. Man. I know you're like ready to.
But I didn't tell which one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
But, we could be talking about the final nightmare.
Then next week will be long.
The final nightmare.
It'll be Long the Zombie Hunter next week.
There we go.
Even though we're doing a zombie-like movie today.
That's right.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom,
yeah,
boom,
so we were just talking pre-show how our weeks have been. Our jobs have been crazy.
Absolutely, yeah.
But other than that, it's been an okay week. Houston Astros are in the baseball playoffs. They're on right now as we record this. So I can't promise I won't holler during recording when something good happens.
Yeah, if something cool happens.
We got the Garrett Cole train on the mound.
There we go.
Tampa Bay Rays. So Astros up 1-0 right now. How do you like that? Live reporting. Even though the show won't be live when you hear it on Monday morning.
Yeah. Astros 1, Tampa Bay 0.
I remember whenever the Astros signed Garrett Cole, I was actually the day they traded for him. Yeah, traded. I was on the phone with a guy from my credit card company. He's like, hey, we can save you money if you do these auto drafts and stuff, you know, every time there was a payment. And I saw the number was from a Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh number. And I said, hey, you a Pittsburgh Pirates fan? He's like, yeah, I keep up with them here and there. And I was like, yeah, thanks for Garrett Cole. And he's like, we traded him away? Like, yeah, thanks.
Too bad, so sad. That's sports business.
Like, what do we get? It's like, a couple McGriddles and, you know, hash brown. Goes a long way.
Like that.
Yeah.
Did you have a good week long?
Prospects.
Yeah, it was all right. When your media supervisor starts being stressed out, it kind of gets carried over to the rest of the team, you know?
I can see that.
And then he gets stressed out over things that are blown out of proportion because his manager is just trying to learn the process of what we do. That's it. And my immediate supervisor thinks that he's being investigated or something like that, you know, or being undermined.
What you do exactly.
I don't either.
You can give me a job. I should work with you.
Right.
You know, so my job looks like it. I don't know what's going on with my job. But
Well, I mean, spirits and alcohol, man, it's pretty stable, no matter the economy.
Yeah, you're 5 minutes from my house. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, not that my current job's not 5 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
It would just be 5 minutes from the house the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wife's cousin got married yesterday. That was fun. We went out and we celebrated. It was like it was a short wedding. The whole wedding ordeal, once it started, was like 4.5 hours or so.
That's pretty common now. It's about what you pay for.
Yeah. You know? The wedding and the reception, and then
Mine was only about that. You forget.
Yeah, I guess I forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got married about 6:30. Reception was 7 to 11.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's normal.
It's not really that short.
Vietnamese weddings are not like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we did have a good time.
Drink a little.
Yeah. It was a sober wedding.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, her family's very religious.
Oh, fuck that.
In the worst way.
So did you even score when you got home?
No, because
there's no alcohol.
So, spoiler alert, my wife's sister is pregnant, and,
was a shotgun wedding?
It was they are having a shotgun wedding, but I guess, she's like, can I spend some time with my sister? And I'm like,
your sister-in-law cockboxed you.
Yeah, she did.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, it's fine, she's gonna pay me back today, because I looked pretty sharp today, that day.
Yeah, you're going to go over podcasts and be too tired like this because you work today.
Dude, I got to work tomorrow, yeah.
You have to be early for the Texas game,
I got to be there at 6 a.m.
You're not getting any tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be rough if I do.
Do you get paid for that?
I do. I get paid $11.50 an hour. It's not bad. I used to only get paid $9.50. So I've through four seasons, I've worked my way up. Top payout is like 12, so it's not much, but I work for the McNairs, set out waters for officers and stuff like that, so, you know, I'm helping.
Like police officers?
Apparently look at college asset games.
Yes, and college asset games. I mean, it's everywhere, you know, so.
There you go.
Yeah, hard not to.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And
what time is the Texans game?
Texans game is at noon.
Against who?
Gates open at
Falcons.
Falcons.
Eight or nine.
Maybe they'll blow their wad and lose again to a team they shouldn't lose to.
Yeah, they can't lose to the Falcons.
No, Falcons are riddled with injury.
They did.
Yeah. Well, the Panthers had a really good defense. Their offense, McCaffrey was running all over them. They shouldn't have. That was a game. They only scored, what, like 17 points?
Fire Bill O'Brien.
Texans can put up more than that. And I think that this is a game where, you know, the Falcons can go off. You know, you've got Julio Jones, but Matt Ryan's in the same prediction.
I don't care.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Texans suck.
Texans.
Astros are in the playoffs. That's more important.
There we go.
So, we got a lot to talk about in this today's show. Let's get into today's show then. Download this, man. What we watched, checked out this week. Downloaded, streamed, video games we played.
Yeah.
So, what did you guys check out this week?
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Friday, I mean, all week's been crazy for me. Overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Hardly had enough time to do anything. I'm in between my model projects, too. So, I have no, model kits to build at the moment. I mean, I have plenty as far as stash. But I just didn't have enough time to do anything. Except I did watch the Friday night premiere of SmackDown, WWE SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
So, it's kind of a big deal because, you know, it's always been on cable. And the last time it's been on national television was UPN when it was in its heyday.
Nice. Yeah. UPN even national TV? I guess back then it was.
It was, kind of. Yeah. But man, I was pretty impressed, because they're really trying to cater to a wider audience, and so UFC, Brock Lesnar lost his championship in UFC to Cain Velasquez, and the very last 10 minutes of the SmackDown show, Brock Lesnar wrestled against Kofi Kingston. Beat him in 1 second flat.
Wow.
Right. And then friggin' Rey Mysterio walks out, and then Cain Velasquez is next to him.
Oh, really?
And then Brock Lesnar has a look of fear in him. It's so over the top and so funny and entertaining. And I know it's all scripted, and the politics behind all of the stuff that they do is really interesting.
At least you accept that it's scripted.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He who shall not be named that used to be on the show, I think, buys into all that shit that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. I dig it for the entertainment, mostly. And
I think he also believes the Tooth Fairy is real.
And to me, I like watching wrestling. It's mainly because they make it look easy.
Right.
But you're falling on purpose,
right.
You know, and if you ever been up close to a wrestling ring, I mean, it's...
Oh, I've been right there in front row before.
Yeah, it's canvas, but under that canvas is plywood,
mm-hmm.
And then under that plywood is steel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a... And they fall on purpose, you know, hundreds of times a year, sure. Versus, football players where they just do it for a shorter amount of time, you know, bumping into each other. And then I showed you guys one of the animes that I've been waiting for almost 2 years that's finally premiered. Azur Lane. Woohoo! Yeah. With Ship Girls. And sent you guys a link to one of the clips from the show. It's so nerdy. But, oh, well. I love it.
That's funny. Where can you watch it? Is it on Crunchyroll? Or?
It's on Funimation.
Funimation?
I was so mad. It was on Funimation.
How much is there? Isn't there only like $6 a month?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's $6 a month, but...
And it's shareable.
Yeah. And what sucks is... why I don't like Funimation is because the browsing... just navigating the website is such a pain.
Mm.
And when you click on a link, it takes like 5 seconds for it to respond to activate the link, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just drives me nuts, you know? Nuts! It's like, what is this? 1997, windowed websites, you know, frames.
Waiting for the dial-up to connect.
Yeah. Am I on GeoCities all of a sudden?
GeoCities.
You remember GeoCities?
I had a website on there once.
Yeah. You ever tried looking for it recently?
Yeah, I haven't. I wonder if it's still around.
Was Zanga 1997?
Oh, shoot. Zanga. X-A-N-G-A. Yeah, man, Zanga. I used to have a Zanga account, too. Or LiveJournal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
And anyways, but man, I hate Funimation's website. Funimation, update your website, because Crunchyroll's website is so easy to navigate.
Yeah.
You know, and anyways. Nothing else. Oh, bought a new hard drive.
There we go.
For my computer, expanded it for another terabyte because Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out soon, and I want more hard drive space to store that sucker on there.
Nice.
And
else you're gonna play it on PC.
Yeah, yeah. Because I just wanted, you know, if like the console is, you know, going to the next cycle, why bother? You know. But I heard the PS5 is going to be backwards compatible.
That's what they're saying, all the way down to PS1 possibly.
Yeah,
possibly. And that's then they said that the loading times on the PS5 are astronomically fast. Yeah. You know. The load times are going to be the thing of the past. Mm. So we'll see. But I don't believe in this whole streaming mumble jumbo. You know, Google is trying to get into the gaming business, but they're only going to do just streaming.
Right.
And it's like, how do you stream games? You know, and you know, you have to have really fast internet, and then that doesn't even account for data caps.
Well, they're saying PS5 is going to be all digital games. There's not going to be any physical copies.
Yeah, but but what they mean is streaming real time.
Right.
Not download, then play. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it seems like it'd be kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, shit, did they just...
We have runners on first and third.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Who's up at?
Should be Springer.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Continued live.
We updates. Warned you.
So, that's my week.
Awesome. I downloaded... Far From Home, Spider-Man Far From Home, and decided I was going to buy the...
Wait till Black Friday, get it for, like, cheap.
Yeah. I followed suit with you, and I also bought Godzilla King of Monsters. I downloaded it, but nice. I haven't watched it yet. I started it, and then my son wanted to watch a Halloween movie, so we also watched Hocus Pocus. I don't think you're a huge fan of it, are you?
I just don't get the big appeal of that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it came out in a prime time, whenever it, you know, just resonated with a lot of kids that are now grown up, and they're now spreading it to their kids, and it's become this thing. His Bette Midler's in it, Sarah Jessica Parker, you know, Sarah Jessica had that Sex and the City thing, and I guess it kind of...
No, that was way before that.
No, Sex and the City was after Hocus Pocus.
No, that's what I'm saying. Hocus Pocus was way before... Yeah.
Well, I think, Gio, because she stayed relevant, and maybe that kind of helped. I don't know. But I also, you know, I wanted to watch a comedy, and I was like, but I also wanted to watch a horror movie, so I watched Scary Movie. I watched the first one, which I think the first one's the best one.
That's like the first two.
I
walked out of theater on the second one.
Oh, yeah, because James Woods.
Yeah, I just didn't like any of the opening sequence of that movie. I was like, that's stupid.
I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was funny.
I think two's not bad. I think the first two are probably the best ones. The first one's definitely the stronger one. I had to take a Snapchat of Marlon Wayans talking about Carmen Electra always plays the girl in these scary movies, or this movie, that movie, epic movie, and did you know the victim? And were you close to the victim? He's like, yeah, until the roofies wore off. Then I slipped my tongue out of her ass and ran out of there because she started talking about charges. And I'm like, they were talking about eating ass before Nicki Minaj was. And I was like...
I think the funniest running joke in the first movie was how Regina King's girl character was dating... What was the other Wayans brother's name?
Damon Wayans.
No. Damon Wayans wasn't in it.
It's Marlon and Damon, right?
There's Marlon, Damon, Keenan, but the other one that... Sean Wayans.
Sean Wayans. Sean Wayans. Subliminal gayness.
Yeah. He's always trying to dress her up like a man, so he really gets turned on.
Yeah. You know? And then they're in the car with another couple, and the other guy's like, yeah, he's like, I love it when you play with my ass. And she's like, I'm not playing with your ass. And he's like, Brian. He's like, oh, sorry, man. And you hear this big old sound, like his fingers were in his butt. And then he's like, hey, play this song on the radio. And it's Raining Men. So there's some fun stuff in that film. Anna Faris is in it. I think she's probably what makes the film. Anna Faris is really funny, in my opinion. And the Wayans are just awesome. I think anything they're in, you're going to laugh at. It's like whenever he, this, you know, Scream guy is, Ghostface. Ghostface is, it pops up on him smoking weed, and he gets him doing the what's up,
which is a very dated joke.
Yeah, it is. It's very dated. It's like saying raise the roof.
So anything else?
No, that's about it. That's about it. Raise, I know it was roof. A little lengthy, but that was it.
I am. Well, I had ordered from a custom Blu-ray of from Hong Kong Rescues. They do they take films, they remaster them themselves, and I was a little leery about it because it's $20 shipped, not bad. But a film critic and podcaster Alan Cerny from Matinee Heroes, he had gotten a copy of it, and mm-hmm. since Alan vouched for it, I was like, you know, if Alan got this, it should be good. But it's Hard Boiled from John Woo, one of my favorite films, and you know, I only owned it on DVD, and we watched it on Blu-ray when you had it for the podcast.
Yeah.
And the Blu-ray is still a little grainy and not cleaned up real well, but this, they did a heck of a job.
Score one.
With a remaster, and the Astros just scored again. Live up, no, it was in the inning, and they called him out. Damn it.
Whatever.
And so this company did an excellent job of the remaster. They took it from the Criterion Laserdisc. That was done. I didn't even know Criterion did Laserdisc, but I guess they did back in the day.
Wow.
Before they did it on DVD. And the film looks better than it's ever looked. It's really an amazing copy of a custom bootleg for the film Hardball. So it was really good. And then, other than that, I watched Captain Marvel again for some reason.
Does it hold up?
Yeah, it's still pretty good. I actually kind of liked it better the second time, I think.
Yeah.
I really like what they did with the Skrulls and everything, and I hope we get more of those in the second chapter of the MCU, or whatever they're going to call it. But I think it's pretty good. And I did take advantage of Voodoo had a very good sale this week. And I had the $2 also. I got Godzilla digitally, the King of the Monsters, and I picked up Shazam for the kids. Even though I thought Shazam was kind of a one and done, I don't really need to watch it again, but the boys liked it. So
yeah.
You know, and,
did Wyatt get to enjoy the Ghostbusters?
Yes, his animated DVD came in the mail, and he watched most of it the other day.
Yeah.
He was very happy and excited. Because I didn't tell him I ordered it, so he surprised him with it. So.
Yeah. And how many episodes was it?
It's like 12 on there.
Only 12?
Cool. Okay. So he wants to be a Ghostbuster for Halloween, but I've been searching Amazon trying to find a costume in his size. That's the only problem. But he's actually okay with maybe being something else if I can't find it.
Yeah.
Because I told him it's just hard to find right now because there's not a movie out or anything like that. So, you know, it's not exactly easy. So, but, you know, he'll be okay. So I think that's about all I really watched this week. So,
I missed one thing. I did buy this Anchorman pack. I don't know if you saw it. And it's got Anchorman 1, 2, the unrated version, and the lost movie, Ron Burgundy, Please Wake Up. So I bought it just because.
He looks so enthused.
Sorry.
So unimpressed.
The second
movie. Don't act like you're not impressed.
They're just not good movies.
I have many leather-bound books. It's got Harrison Ford in it the second one. How can you denounce the movie with Harrison Ford?
So? The second movie is terrible.
No, it's not.
The first one had maybe a moment in it. Second one is this awful movie.
I forgot to mention that I did finally pay money down for my pre-order for the Criterion Godzilla.
Ooh, nice.
Showa era.
Yeah.
Yeah, films. So once I get it, I think on November 2nd or November 9th, we're going to do a Kaiju Clash
watch party
for the original Japanese King Kong versus Godzilla movie.
Nice.
Yeah.
I need to, speaking of pre-orders, I never pre-order anything, but I think I'm going to pre-order The Last of Us 2.
Hmm.
Just so I can get the pre-order bonuses, because it comes out.
I never played the first one.
It comes out in February, so it's tax money season. So
nice.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I love the first one. It's one of my all-time favorite games, so I think I'm going to download, I think I'm going to pre-order the sequel to get ready for it when it comes out. But yeah. That's it, though. Download this.
Yeah. Let me, quick little weird survey here. Okay. When you hear the game World of Warships, right?
Yeah.
Do you expect to be submarines in the game? If you hear, you know?
No. I would think more like, you know, classic battleship. Something massive with an air carrier on it.
And
big old guns, cannons.
Yeah.
That's what I would think of.
I mean,
that's what I would picture.
Casually thinking about it, like warships. Is a submarine a warship?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Yeah. Because they're adding that, and people are nervous about it. And I'm looking forward to it, because I got into naval history because of the Hunt for Red October.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and a bunch of other submarines. I don't know why submarines are so cool to me. But
it's because of the Beatles song?
But they're finally beta testing the new class of submarine gameplay in it. So.
Submarines make for some good stuff in movies, though. Like I said, Hunt for Red October. U-571 is a highly underrated film.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people didn't see, but it's really good.
Yeah. Down Crimson Periscope. Tide. I like Down Periscope.
Crimson Tide is excellent.
Yeah, did you know that's an actual submarine?
Really?
That the USS Cod was used... And it's an actual working World War II submarine.
That's freaking cool.
Yeah, that they used. But, Down to Periscope. Operation Petticoat, an old one.
Oh, yeah.
Run Silent, Run Deep, I recently watched with Clark Gable and Burt Lancaster. Yeah. That's a really good movie still. Yeah, but other than that, yeah. Sorry.
No,
off tangent there. Transient.
Transient.
So we'll go from submarines to dark horror.
Yes.
This week's film, it's feature film time. It's Halloween Horrors 2019 continues. Last week was kind of the warm-up with the Monster Squad, late September. Now we're fully into October.
That's right.
As it's Halloween month now. People are decorating. I've got a couple things I bought at the 99 cent store over there on the stairs. I haven't hung up yet because the kids wanted me to decorate some for Halloween. So today's film is the 2002 zombie horror film 28 Days Later from director Danny Boyle. And we always summarize the film. And since I'm already talking, I'm going to summarize this week.
There you go.
I usually make you guys do it.
But, yeah.
But this film, it starts out with we get a little opening sequence with in a lab or something where we see something go wrong.
Activists.
And someone gets infected. These activists call. Yeah, they're trying to, destroy whatever's going on there. And so this virus is unleashed. And then we flash to some time later, 28 days to be exact. And we see Jim wake up in the hospital, played by
Cillian Murphy.
And he has no idea what's going on. He's confused, not sure. The world is bleak. There's no one around or anything. And as the story unfolds, he runs into Selena. And she has a guy with her named Mark.
Yeah.
And soon to find out, they get chased by these people that are mad crazy. And
Jim Rage.
Rage virus, and Jim doesn't know what's going on. All he knows is to run. Selena tells him to run. Mark doesn't make it, and at this point, we find out what's going on. Selena explains to him. Well, they explained him a little bit before that what's going on exactly, that the world has been infected and by a rage virus, which turns people into zombie-like creatures, or not even creatures. They just are. They're going mad. They tear their own flesh off their skin, and they try to eat and destroy other humans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different take on the zombie genre because they're not really the undead. They're just infected. And so it becomes a movie of survival from that point on as they trek across the land trying to get to a military base that they've heard about. And then they run into Brendan Gleeson's character, him and his daughter, and they continue the trek to the military base and eventually get there. And then we have a really horrifying scene where Brendan Gleeson's character gets blood in his eye.
Yeah.
That scene is still... It's so heartbreaking, but also so terrifying. And he gets infected. And eventually, it turns out the military guys aren't who they think they are. So they aren't so nice as they've been infected by this plague in a different way. We see the human side of it. As they've been, haven't had women.
Yeah.
They've kind of losing their own minds, having to stay there. So they try to attack Selena and the other young girl. And they try to take Jim out to the woods and kill him. But Jim is able to come back and rescue the girls, and he unleashes some of the rage virus people into the camp,
which helps
take out the military people, and the show is left kind of with an ambiguous ending, in a way, as they escape, and then a helicopter flies over him and they put out a thing that says hello. You assume they got rescued, at the end of the film,
It's the best looking scene in the film, I think.
Yeah, well, it's a scene of happiness. It's all real colorful at the end.
And they had to have used a different camera.
No, there's no grain at the end.
Yeah.
Danny Boyle shot all this with a lot of grain on purpose. He wanted it to look terrifying and like the real world looks like you're not, like a sense of confusion to it.
Yeah.
It is, what's funny is it's all shot digitally. He actually used digital cameras, but he must have did something to it to give it that look and feel of grainy looking like old horror film.
In fact, the way he shot it, even the Blu-ray looks the same as the DVD. You're not going to be able to clear up that graininess because of the look that he was going for.
I think it's cool. I like the way it looks.
It's different.
Some people hate it.
Yeah.
But, especially, people start hating it more as you know, as HD comes into better, play. Yeah.
I think the 4K. Content speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah.
You may not sure. have that, you know, beautiful 4K yeah. and CGI stuff that you see nowadays that, you know, just really makes the movie pop. Yeah. But I think you've got a lot of content. And for all means, this was a groundbreaking film.
Well, right. Well, so when was the first time you saw it? Well,
we were going to definitely talk about that, Graham. When it first came out.
I actually have a confession to see this. I went and saw 28 Weeks Later, the sequel in 2007 with... I think it might have been with Frank. I don't remember. And I hadn't seen the first one. So, like, a day later, I went back and watched the first one. I was like, well, I guess I need to watch the first one now. I just wasn't into this thing at the time. I just was like, eh.
Some people like whatever. 28 Weeks Later better.
And, so I watched it after I saw the sequel.
Did you like 28 Weeks Later?
I like the sequel, too. Yeah. But I really like this one better, I think. 28 Weeks Later falls into a lot of traps, you know, typical stuff. Where it's not as groundbreaking as this one.
Yeah.
And it was the first time you saw it long?
This week.
Really? You had never seen this film
before? Never seen it. Wow. And running zombies are freaking scary.
Yeah.
And especially for me, who's a little slightly overweight. You know?
Yeah, I'd be dead too, dude.
With short legs.
Yeah. I couldn't outrun those zombies. Yeah. Not for long.
Yeah, for sure.
So you found it as a fresh watch even almost
20 years later. It is a fresh watch. I've never
even almost 20 years later, you found it terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, I've only known about it through cultural osmosis. Mm-hmm. I've only heard about it once a year or so.
Yeah, I think this movie is still terrifying. Yeah. Even watching it now.
It definitely set the blueprint for like terrifying fast zombies, mm-hmm. because I don't think I've ever seen that in other
George
movies.
A. Romero's.
Yeah, shambling. Well, yeah,
a lot of people think The Walking Dead brought the zombie genre back. It was actually this film.
Yeah,
that was groundbreaking in 2002. It inspired Zack Snyder to do Dawn of the Dead. It actually inspired Robert Kirkman to do The Walking Dead and to create the book. He was inspired by this film. So this actually is very groundbreaking in a lot of ways, and to create a genre that people think is dying off, but I think zombies are still pretty popular even today. People like this kind of stuff. You know, I think the film holds up extremely well. I think it's still terrifying. I'm watching it, the scene where the blood falls in the eye is still scary.
Oh, yeah.
I think the part that disturbed me the most was when he was in the church, mm-hmm. and then there was a pile of bodies.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like two or three of them just popped up.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, and, yeah. He goes, hello.
Yeah.
And they look at him.
Yeah. It was very disturbing the way they looked, too. Mm. Just straight at him. And then, yeah. And they run, bitch, run.
And then the preacher, he's like, Father. And then he, like, hits him, gets him off him. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. And Father's like,
yeah. Yeah. Brendan Gleeson's a very good actor.
He is. I've seen him in a lot of movies. He was in Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
With Harry Potter.
He was also in...
Daniel Radcliffe, sorry.
He was also in Kingdom of Heaven.
Oh, yeah. He was?
Yeah, he's been a lot of stuff. He's Guy de Chatillon. And he was a very maniacal...
We also have Raymond Calitri.
Huh?
I need 50 cars. 50.
No one remembers him for that movie except for you.
Who? What movie?
Christopher Eccleston.
What movie?
Gone in 60 Seconds. I knew Matt was going to do that.
Oh, he was in that movie?
He's no better for Doctor Who.
Because if I don't deliver the cause, I look like Chris an Eccleston? Asshole.
Yeah.
Do I look like an what? Asshole?
Only Matt's going to bring up that reference.
Chris Eccleston's also in 28 Days, wasn't he?
He's in this movie.
Yeah, he's in this movie.
He looks very young.
Yeah.
I barely recognize
him. Well, even Cillian Murphy was like 24 when he made this.
Yeah.
I took a picture of whenever Cillian Murphy's talking to him, and I made a said Mark, I was like, yeah, I'm waiting for this guy to ask Cillian Murphy if he looks like an asshole.
Naomi Harris, before she played Bonnie Penny,
yeah,
Skyfall, she's
yeah.
in this.
She was also, this is before her Pirates of the Caribbean role,
yeah,
as the voodoo witch.
Yeah, I think it was great, you know, the way that they chose to do this 28 Days Later and do this Rick Grimes style where he wakes up and he doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Instead of Dawn of the Dead style.
Well, yeah, because I do recall like 28 Days starting like that, waking up all mm-hmm. of a sudden from the hospital bed. And when I saw the premiere of Walking Dead, it was like, man, this reminds me of, mm-hmm. you know.
Oh, you know Kirkman had to take that from 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And what else? Brendan Gleeson's character, it's very, you know, you know, that father role, mm-hmm. you know, and then you see him get that blood in his eye.
He gives you hope in this world.
Yeah.
Because you want to believe in him.
Yeah. Someone to look up to.
Yeah.
You know? And can't believe it. Yeah. That was a pretty heartbreaking
scene. Frank was the name of this character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you should see him in Bruges.
In Bruges?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Danny Boyle really wanted this film to have a realistic look to it, too. He refused to shoot on set with CGI background, so he got the police in London to shut down a lot of streets for 1 hour every day at 4 a.m. They would reroute the clubbers and stuff so he could shoot a lot of these scenes. And that's why a lot of the lighting looks real natural, because the sun was starting to come up or whatever. Or it was real dark, and they used lamps to light the streets and stuff, because he wanted the film to have a natural, as real look as possible. They would litter the street with all the litter on it. Then they'd go through and clean it up real quickly afterwards when they reopened the streets, because they wanted to look like, you know, the world was torn apart and everything. So,
and the hospital was only open during the week, and it was closed on the weekends.
Yeah, so they filmed it on the weekends in the hospital. That's interesting.
And it was filmed in sequence.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was filmed. Yeah, it was filmed in sequence. A lot of stuff was filmed in the, like, the subway stuff was filmed, the older subways that weren't used as much in London, because they were allowed to use that.
Yeah.
Of course, the countryside scenes were probably a little easier to film, because they didn't have to shut down streets.
And the elephant in the room? Come on. You know you want to talk about it. Opening scene with Cillian Murphy. Yeah?
Not really.
No?
No.
You want to talk about how they filmed his penis?
Yeah, really had no desire to talk about that. I
tried not to pay attention to that part.
Yeah, it was in his own house.
Yeah, I really think. So
take that.
Only you would look that up, man.
Boom.
Because I really
penis reference.
No interest in worrying about Cillian Murphy's dick.
You should see him in Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders?
If you're a fan of good crime dramas.
Yeah. I've watched the first episode. Yeah. I just never went back. I could never get into it.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Sam Neill was in it, too.
Yeah.
Sam Neill!
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy's worked with Danny Boyle a couple of times. He did this. He did Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like there's a third movie he did.
Slumdog Millionaire.
Was he in Slumdog Millionaire?
No, well, not Peter Boyle.
Dinklage.
The director.
Danny Boyle. He did Slumdog Millionaire. No, I know that. No, I meant Cillian Murphy. I know he's worked with him a few times. He's had a few movies with him.
Oh.
You know, he's come a long way from this movie to where he is now. Cillian Murphy was the Scarecrow. He was in Inception. He's worked with Christopher Nolan.
He's still part of the fucking Peaky Blinders.
Nice. That's the second British accent impersonation we've had.
Not the best, but...
Not the best, but it works.
Mine's not that great either.
But I'm not a huge horror movie fan, as you know, but I like this movie quite a bit. I think this movie is really, really well done.
Yeah.
I think it's really well shot. It's well acted. It's truly scary in a lot of parts, because you buy into the realism of the world, I believe. The zombies are more realistic, believing. You know, that a virus could cause something like this, so I think that makes it more terrifying, too.
The scene when the Rainey's, that one of the zombies staring through the window.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh, with those eyes. Man, that's disturbing.
I think that Boyle's direction is really well done in this. Just the camera angles he uses, the cinematography, shoot from the ground to give it a look of, like, speed and feel.
Yeah.
Or shooting up close a lot with, like you said, like Long just said, with the window. And the zombie comes to the window, things like that. Tightness in spaces to give it, like, in the rooms and stuff, to give, like, this
claustrophobia
look, but yet also a huge world, too.
I hate to interrupt you, but I feel like this falls into what I define as a horror movie. Now, you know, what we see today a lot of is just what the British would call rubbish. It's just jump scares, blood, and let's... I want something that is going to keep me up at night. I want something that's going to stay in my head for the rest of the day or maybe the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have a dream about it, or I'm going to see something throughout my day and I'm going to be like, oh my God, that reminds me of, you know, what I saw in this movie.
Right.
That's what a horror movie really is.
Well,
this is a horror movie.
It feels like in the last 20 years, you get a lot of that. But it feels like there's not that many movies that come along or groundbreaking. I've heard good things about Hereditary. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But they say it's like this level. It's groundbreaking. It's changed things. It's not just jump scares. It's
changed things.
But all these Annabelle movies and Conjuring and all that, they're all just jump scare movies. Yeah. There's no substance to them. This movie has substance in a lot of ways because of the realistic feel to it. Mm-hmm. You go on this journey with Jim, and we didn't even talk about that. Jim goes from someone who's scared, doesn't have any idea what's going on, to a survivalist at the end of it. When he's tearing that guy's eyes out, it's like a completely different Jim from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, and so much, in fact...
You almost see this rage in him, even though he's not turning into a zombie, but then he pops up and he's like, it's just me, I'm okay.
Even Selena thinks... Selena thinks, yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
And then the girl, like, hits him in the head.
Yeah.
He thinks he's gotten rage, yeah.
But then he pops up and he's like, I'm okay, and you see the good Jim back in there. And it's a crazy transformation.
Damn it, Jim.
You know... Yep. And do you have a favorite scene in the movie?
I like it whenever he shoots the chain and that person that they have tied up that has rage just goes through the house and just wrecks shop.
Yeah, he was pissed. One pissed off rage virus.
Yeah. For me, it's when he brought the rage zombies into the outpost.
Yeah,
that's my. You know, I hated those rage zombies, but I kind of glad that the little citadel of military assholes got taken over, you know.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think that whole sequence is great at the end of the last 20 minutes of the film. Yeah. Really incredibly well done. It's just a truly terrifying, scary film that holds up well almost 20 years later. Mm-hmm. And the sequel's not bad either. 28 weeks later is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Boyle, they've been talking about a sequel for several years now. As of June of this year, the writer from this one has said he's spoken with Danny Boyle, and they're really getting closer to possibly making 28 months later, finally.
Yeah, just do it, Danny. You have nothing to do.
Boyle did not... Yeah, he backed out on Bond. Well, he has... He did that Beatles movie yesterday that came out.
No one cares about the Beatles.
But, you know, he didn't direct 28 weeks later. He just produced it because he was busy doing something, which is straight. It has Jeremy Renner in it before he was known.
Yeah.
And, so I like, and he actually also threw a loop that they have an idea for a 28 years later, too, if they were to do a fourth one. So
yeah, I'm starting to sense a theme here.
There we go.
But I'd be down for a 28 months later.
Then 28 decades later.
How about 28 seconds?
28 centuries later. 28 seconds later?
Yeah.
The end.
28 millennia later.
Well, if you do 28 months later, maybe bring back Cillian Murphy to see where he's been for the last... Yeah. Yeah.
He's got that face where he just doesn't look like he's really aged much to me.
Yeah, no, he looks almost the same than he did in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I give this movie a solid A.
Yeah,
I think this is a good film.
I agree.
I think it's an A.
Yeah, ever since this movie came out, I mean, it's a fun movie to watch. Funish. But it also changed the landscape for horror.
I mean, it inspired the writer of World War Z even said he was inspired by this film.
Definitely
inspired. So World War Z is super fast moving zombies that climb fucking walls and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, World War Z, I actually really like that movie.
Yeah, if zombies are like that, then we're screwed. No one's living.
I thought World War Z was actually much better than people gave it credit for. Yeah. I liked it.
Not bad.
Brad Pitt was good in it.
Yeah, it's a good film. But it's not as good as this film. But
boy, that movie had some production hells.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody thought it was going to crash, end up being a pretty big box office hit.
That's good for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it turned out well.
Yeah.
I think it turned out well because they fixed the ending for it.
What did George Romero think of 28 Days?
I know Stephen King loved this movie. I'm not sure what Romero thought.
Stephen King bought a whole theater.
Yeah, he bought a whole theater. Stephen King still cites this as one of his favorite horror movies, even today, 20 years later.
Yeah.
I'm sure Romero probably, I would think he liked it.
Yeah.
You know, at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I'd have to look it up and find out. But that's it, I think, on 28 Days Later. Good, solid zombie film. And it brought us thinking, like, we've been doing sub-features this month for Halloween horror, so we decided today's sub-feature, we're going to have some fun with this. So, if you had 3 minutes, let's say the zombie apocalypse was broken out on the news, and you got word in your neighborhood that the hordes were coming down your street, you had about 3 minutes to get in your car and get the fuck out, what would you take with you? And we're not going to say kids, because kids are a given. You're going to put your kids in the car. So, what items would you grab if you only had 3 minutes? And whoever wants to go first. And they have to be things in your house right now.
Yeah.
They can't be fictional things.
What about the shed?
In the shed in your house, what you own right now in your house.
Yeah.
What would you take with you?
I've got camping equipment. I'd grab that. my shotgun, machete, and an axe. Because, you know, you don't want to have that thing go off. We've learned in, you know, Walking Dead that, you know, you have a gunshot go off, you're just going to attract more.
I have an inflatable raft.
An inflatable raft. Hey, man.
The water might be safe.
Yeah, the water might be safe. Go to the deepest lake and camp out there at night. And then, I have a raft. Don't have very much for food. I definitely will have my cell phone with me because I know, right. You know, just to catch up on things.
Oh, yeah.
And That's a good question.
I did text you. I'll give you time to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that one time, though. you gotta text me at least once a week or something.
Right.
What else?
You don't have any weapons in your house?
No.
Take a kitchen knife, a butcher knife, or something?
They're like little steak knives.
Hey, man.
He's going to poke a zombie in the eye.
You have to get them right through the eye and get them in the brain.
Yeah. I don't have any weapons. I don't. Except for a pickaxe.
There you go.
There we go.
Pickaxe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man, that doesn't run out of bullets.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Get my swinging in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a shovel, at least.
There you go. Yeah. Shovel work.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to grab my bow.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
My arrows.
Daryl.
My swords.
Oh, yeah.
Swords.
Man, you'd be a mix of Daryl and Michonne.
I'm going to grab some matches.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you might start a fire.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really have much camping equipment. I'll probably grab a flashlight.
There you go.
You know? I had some camping equipment. I think I got rid of a lot of it. Those are probably the main things I would grab. And maybe grab a backpack and throw what I can in it. Some shorts or a shirt or
food.
Or some food or whatever.
Yeah, deodorant.
You know, but definitely the swords. The
are you going to spare me some of those swords?
I got like four swords.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'll toss you a sword along.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Swing by. Toss me a sword.
I got a sharpening blade.
Oh, there you go.
And that's probably what I would grab. Those few things. Just a few weapons and something to start a fire with. You know, I think that'd be probably a smart thing. Yeah, I don't have any guns or axes, just swords. I can still slice motherfuckers. That'd be some crazy shit if that ever happened.
Oh, man. My God, dude.
But I have to say, I think if anything like that did happen, I don't think the dead are going to rise. I think it could be something like in 20
Yeah, it would be
later.
Like this.
Like
chemical.
A virus that gets out or something, or a drug-induced thing. Because there's a drug. There really is a drug. As we hit America, that these kids take overseas and it makes them like act like a zombie. Have you seen that shit?
Yeah,
it's on the internet. Shit's real, man.
What, bath salts?
There's some sort of drug that they take in Europe that like they
it
act like.
It starts with an R.
Yeah,
I forget what it's actually called, but yeah, it.
It's a narcotic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a narcotic.
Hmm. Yeah. Never heard of it.
It's originally meant to be more like a roofie, and.
There's videos of kids slamming their heads on the cars and stuff because they're on it. So
yeah.
It's pretty crazy. They call it the zombie drug.
And there's a zombie disease, George Romano's disease. It affects deer and animals. George Romero. Yeah. And it's like Hans Romero, but it's an ode to George Romero.
Yeah.
And there are zombie deer and zombie bees that only fly at night, and they fly in a weird pattern. They're green. Parts of them start like, you know, falling off and they attack other bees and eat them.
Crazy.
So it's something like that. If that transfers to humans, you never know.
And now I'm really freaked out now. But
you know, you say you're gonna bring your gun and your bullets, and I'm like, dang it, these bullets are expensive. I wasted these on zombies.
Get a 22 if they're halfway rotten. That 22 will do the job.
Yeah,
it'll go through.
Are you talking about a shotgun?
So I've got a lot of shooting, like, you know, skeet rounds, but
spare to kill them at a distance, up close.
So we've got we're not done with the scary stuff yet. We've got spooky stories on the podcast here in just a few minutes after the news. So let's talk some happy news.
Happy news.
Yeah, Martin Scorsese, his film The Irishman is hitting Netflix here at the end of November.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
But he's talking some shit, man.
Yeah.
Saying that comic book films aren't cinema. And James Gunn responded by
saying,
James
Gunn's
tweet. I'm sad that he would think that because he said he tried to watch it but didn't. And, Spielberg did this shit, you know, talking how comic book movies are going to go the way of the Western. And Why do these old great filmmakers feel the need to say anything? I have to disagree with Scorsese.
I think it's because it's been harder and harder for them to make movies, any kind of movies.
So they're jealous?
No, yeah. I think, indirectly, because every time they have a project,
a good point.
To try to fund their project, you know, all the studios keep saying no, 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 right. You know? And they're just trying to make their movies, and then, you know.
But they're not saying no to Scorsese or Spielberg.
Yes, they are. They are saying no to them. You know, they're finding it hard to get backers, you know? And The Irishman took 10 years to make or to get someone to fund it, you know? And people just didn't want to do it. And then Netflix finally said, okay, well, we'll do it, you know?
Well, I get that part of it, but I don't agree with Scorsese.
No, but it's...
It's a different type of thing. You go to cinema and be entertained, ultimately.
Oh, yeah. It's a theme park.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Well, I mean... Honestly, I mean, it's great escapism, you know, and for me, I'm like, you know, it's his opinion. It's just an opinion. No, it's like, why get hot and bothered by it?
Oh, no,
you know? And for me, I'm like, you know, he's entitled to it, you know? And
no, it's not like with, what's his name, talk shit about Stan Lee. That was something to get hot and bothered about. Bill Maher. Guy's a fucking idiot. But yeah, this is just something to give an opinion on it. I just find it interesting because I don't agree with his opinion. I think cinema is there for you to
enjoy. He didn't say it was trash.
Yeah.
I mean, theme parks are great.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, they take investment.
That's true.
Fun. Yeah. It's escapism.
Escapism.
You know?
Yeah. So, you know.
I mean, and who knows? People, too, tend to change their opinion. I mean, look. Scorsese produced the Joker movie.
I know.
So.
Which is...
And it got a 10-minute
next in the news. I actually have that. Do you think that you think the media has fed too much into this violence about the movie, causing more problems than necessary?
They are.
You saw
causing
it?
Theaters to be.
I haven't seen it, but I think the media is
causing theaters to put up warnings, causing theaters in California to not show it because of threats.
Yeah.
And I think that if it was never brought to media's attention, maybe this never happens.
Yeah, and I think it's back in the. I think it part of it. Is due to the shooting back in Colorado when the Dark Knight
shooting,
the Dark Knight Rises came out, and I think
like that theater's not showing it out of respect to the victims. That I can really understand.
Yeah,
but I saw this question that someone had, and it made me think: did the Aurora Theater also not show Batman versus Superman?
I don't know.
Because that, I mean, we're still in the age of social media at that point. You would have seen something.
So it's Batman versus Superman, but. The killer, the mass shooter, you know, was, you know, a big old Joker fan.
Oh, okay.
He had his hair orange and called himself the Joker.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Details I didn't get. Yeah. I didn't get.
Yeah.
So I think so I get why.
Stop listening to Rush Limbaugh.
So I get why that
Rush Limbaugh. Is he even on the air anymore?
Yeah.
He is? Oh, my God.
Seriously. Stop listening to Hannity.
But yeah,
Hannity.
I get why they didn't show the Joker.
I listen to Crowder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I like Crowder. He's more like, let's have a conversation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bad tangent there.
Yeah, bad tangent.
So I get why that theater didn't show the Joker film because of what happened in during 2012. That was when Dark Knight Rises came out. So, But, I don't know. I still kind of want to see the film a little bit. I'm not, like, super pumped to see it, but I wanted to see it, too, out of curiosity. Just because I wanted to make my own opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Read a lot of interesting friends' opinions on the film online this weekend.
What do they say?
Some don't like it. Some do like it. A lot. Everyone is praising Joaquin's Phoenix performance.
Yeah.
But a lot of my comic book friends online have the same feeling that I already had going into this. Like, why make a movie about Joker's origin? We didn't need it. You know, the Joker simply exists as an absolute.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no reason for it. And I have a feeling that's what I'm going to think about it, too.
Yeah.
Like, the story doesn't add anything necessary to a Joker story. So we'll see. You know. We got a Birds of Prey trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Or a.k.a. the Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, the Harley Quinn movie.
I was not impressed. It's definitely an ADHD trailer.
It had some interesting tidbits that they showed off, but... My biggest knock against it was the sound mixing. Yeah. When they were showing that French song in the background, it was pretty overbearing.
Yeah.
You know?
And how many... I swear, is it just me or was there like 6 scenes in the trailer of Harley in a car?
Yeah.
It just felt like she was in a car a lot, didn't it?
Yeah.
In the trailer? And I love Margot Robbie in that role. I love Margot Robbie, period. I would do thanks for her. So I will probably see it just for her.
You know what the budget of this movie was? Huh. It's like 110, 120.
Really?
Very pretty cheap, it considering.
It doesn't look like a $110 million movie, though.
No.
From the trailer.
It looks like a what?
Like a maybe $60, $70 million.
Oh, really?
Kinda just looked, it kind of looked a little low-budget-y to me.
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor, I mean, he should be interesting. He's always a good actor.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't impressed with the first trailer. Maybe the second trailer will be better.
I like some of the action they showed off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's done by the John Wick action director. Is it? Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I'll probably see it, like I said, just for Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
So it'll be my reason to go see it. If you've ever seen The Wolf of Wall Street, you'll fall in love with her immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
We finally got a premiere date for Picard. January 23rd, 2020.
Hey, that's the day before my birthday.
It's going to
hit CBS All Access. They released a new trailer for it, which looks really cool.
Yeah.
We got more details on other actors that are in the show from the Next Generation. I did watch the trailer. I shouldn't say anything earlier when we were talking pre-show because I was saving it for the show.
Yeah.
I don't have CBS All Access, but I might be really tempted to subscribe for a couple months just to watch this because it looks really, really good.
Yeah.
I'll
probably wait until it's done, though.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe wait till the run, then just binge it.
And then,
pay for 1 month.
Yeah.
It looks pretty exciting. You know, I've heard good things about Discovery, too, but this just looks really cool.
Yeah.
It just feels, too, like such a smart idea.
Yeah.
Like, let's continue where Star Trek was its most popular with its most popular captain, arguably.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. There's got to be a pirate stream somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Pirate stream.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV shows, Damian Lindelof is saying that Watcher might only be one season.
Good.
That they designed it as just one season.
Good.
And not because they felt it wasn't going to get renewed or anything. Stop knocking on it, man. Okay? Just because your alien problem.
I don't even see why we need a Watchmen series in the first place.
Well, it could be good.
Yeah. It's not even based on the graphic novel.
It's a sequel 3 decades later.
Oh, Lord.
Are we going to see more, you know?
Well, it's almost all new characters.
Yeah. Blue penis?
No Rorschach. No blue penis.
Yeah. Well, from what I've... Well, the only little details I know, I guess, like... There's a cult-like following for Rorschach.
Rorschach.
Years later.
Yeah.
And that's why the trailer, you see a bunch of people with that mask.
How about Dr. Manhattan? Where does he play in all this?
I mean, you would imagine he's the only one that's still alive because all the rest of the actors, 3 decades later, all those heroes have died off, probably just from old age, if anything. But Dr. Manhattan, I'm sure, is still around because he's basically invincible. So we'll see. You know, it might be one of those things I'd give a chance, at least see where they go with it. But it might only be one season. Corey Lindelof, he said they wrote it. But the beginning, middle, and end, they told HBO going in, you know, if y'all want more, we can probably do more, but we just intend to be like a miniseries. So, you know, hey, we'll see.
Yeah, HBO's really putting money into the genre stuff now. Yeah. Because before then, what did they do? Before, like, they'd Sopranos, Rome, you know? Yeah. That's about it.
Well, they canceled, even though Rome had high ratings, they canceled after 2 seasons because it was so costly.
Yeah.
But now, imagine if they did Rome, it probably would have continued, you know?
Yeah.
It was just a very expensive, I actually really liked Rome. I watched both seasons. That was a good show.
Yeah.
Bloody. But
bloody.
Yeah.
Lots of sex.
Yeah, and lots of sex.
But it was well written.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was good.
Just too expensive.
Reminded me of Maximus.
But
based on history, too.
That's all the news I've got.
Yeah.
This is a kind of short news week, so it's time for this week's spooky stories to tell on a podcast.
Ooh.
From the evil Dr. Tran.
Matt, you want to go first with your story?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have an extra story this week.
Yeah. So I got in trouble because I was telling my kids the story that my dad made up called Larry the Ladder Man.
Mm.
And so my dad would always start with this story about how there's this man named Larry, and he would get on this ladder and fix people's roofs in the neighborhood, and that he died fixing our roof.
Mm.
That Larry was climbing a ladder one day, and his head got stuck in the ladder, and it was a kaleidoscoping ladder, and it came down, and he chopped his head off.
Ooh.
He's like, at night, if you listen, you can hear... And then he'd try and, like, stomp his foot and make it sound like, oh, my God, he's on the roof now. And then he'd be like, ah! And he'd, you know, he'd do something like that. And he even went so far as to pretending that Larry the Ladder Man took his head on Halloween, and I was 9 years old. I freaked the hell out. He had like my uncle's in on it, so I believed it, and my, I guess my cousin saw it, and he's like, "Your dad's behind that tree." But he's like, "Why are you crying?" I'm like, "My dad, Larry the Ladder Man. You have a dad." It kind of scarred me for a little bit. My wife did not like that I was telling Larry the Headless Ladder Man the other night. It was an interesting original story, and mm-hmm. I think it's very easy to do, easy to tell your kids and jack with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting story. Well, I got one. This is actually kind of a personal account too, because it happened roughly about 10 years ago. My mom's best friend was involved in a murder robbery. So it kind of sucked because, you know, I've known my mom's best friend for years, you know, growing up as a kid to adulthood. And to hear her lose her life while running her convenience store and got robbed, you know, was pretty sad. So we attended her funeral, and there's a custom in Vietnamese funerals that immediate family members wear white, mm-hmm. and everyone else could wear black, you know. And, you know, it's just a little miscellaneous detail. But anyways, there's also another rule where if someone is not allowed to be at the funeral, then they're not allowed, right? So a guest happens to show up that's not allowed at the funeral, because this guest was a physical abuser towards my mom's, you know, former friend.
Yeah.
And anyways, one of the funeral attendants came up to my mom, and she started crying almost hysterically. She says, "What's wrong?" My mom asked her friend, and her friend started, you know, crying because the corpse's eyes were open. And the reason why a corpse's eyes would open is because someone in the room does not belong in that funeral. So we looked towards the back of the room. Surely enough, the victim's abuser was there. So we had him kicked out, right? And then, you know, one of the attendants who was crying, you know, went back up there to the corpse to double check, and the eyes were closed.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was my turn to go up towards, you know, to pay my respects to the corpse to see it off, you know? And yeah, the victim's eyes were closed, you know? And so we kind of have to kind of give a little prayer, personal prayer.
Yeah.
And then she grabbed me.
Oh, God. Oh, you son of a bitch.
I saw that coming. I had a feeling.
No. I'm sorry, Matt. And she grabbed me.
Damn it.
That was a good one.
That was good. But I have to give you that.
The part where the eyes opened, that was right. True. Yeah.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I was like, you had me like... you had me going, you're reeling me in, and I was like, I think I was even leaning closer towards you. I'm like, tell me more. like Jonah Hill from 22
I promise
Jump
you
Street.
That is the last jump scare I'll do for the rest of the month.
That's gonna be sitting back now like, what's on, you know, next week's story.
But I'm anyways, be like,
I'm my chair back.
I'm sorry to my I like to also apologize to my mom's friend for using this story as a jump scare story. But may she rest in peace.
Yes.
Yes. But anyways, that's my scary story.
Good spooky story to tell on a podcast.
Thank you.
That was awesome. And all right, well, let's preview next week's film. It's Halloween Horrors 2019. Continues on the Rebel Radio Podcast. As we're going to talk. Last year we did A Nightmare on Elm Street, the original classic. And so we're like, let's do a sequel, but the second one's not very good, Freddy's Revenge. It's kind of weak. So we're going to do arguably the best sequel. Not that any of them are great, but this is probably the most fun one out of all of them. Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
He's horribly burned. He has razors on his right hand. Man of my dreams. He's real, isn't he? He's real. Let go of him, you bastard.
A while since I've seen this, so watching it, I gotta watch it this week, and it'll kind of be like,
I've never seen
it
this
new again. Long,
oh man,
long
this is my favorite one.
I've seen bits and pieces.
Have you seen the original Nightmare?
No,
so you have a fear, bits and pieces. You have a fear of Freddy Krueger,
a little bit, yeah.
You can come over and watch it, man. We'll
no,
watch it together.
No,
yeah, man.
No,
are you making
it? I want to watch it with a girl.
Okay, well,
we speaking of girls, it looks like Winter will be returning to the show. She did the heavy metal episode with us.
Yeah.
She wants to come to a Halloween episode, and she's going to come talk on Nightmare on Elm Street 3
nice.
Dream Warriors with us next week. Yeah, it'll be like watching it for the first time for me in a while, too. I'm very familiar with it. It's funny. I always remember Nightmare on Elm Street. I remember the second one. And I remember, like, Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Cause it's oh, yeah, modern. That one was good.
And but, like, I've seen the other ones, but I don't really... You know, these are movies you don't
I remember
really,
the final Nightmare.
You don't really retain mm-hmm. these films. You enjoy them, but, you know, unless you watch them a lot, you don't retain them. So, I'm going to watch Dream Warriors this week and check it out again and enjoy watching it and talk about it on next week's podcast. So, it should be fun. And long. Motherfuckers, y'all make me watch this shit.
Yeah. I hate y'all.
You see, if you can watch 28 Days Later, you can watch
yeah.
Freddy Krueger. 28 Days Later is pretty frightening.
No, I watched the final Nightmare and yeah. stuff.
So. Yeah, just don't watch, like, 5, The Dream Master. That one sucks.
Yeah. Is that the one where, like, Freddy turns into, like, a worm head or
yes,
something?
Yes, and he's, like, trying to...
Yeah, that's really creepy. Yeah. So, you
the
know.
The Dream Master.
And the girl has the cockroach arms.
Yeah.
Because she has a fear of bugs. He makes her into a cockroach.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, even this one that we're going to watch is the first one where they tried to do a lot of weird special effects, if I remember right.
Yeah.
The Dream Warriors were Freddy... With his chest and all that and everything.
Oh, the, yeah, with the yeah, everyone's, like, collecting.
The first two were pretty straight slasher flicks, but this
oh,
is
no, that's four. That's four.
Is it four?
Yeah, that's what it starts with. He takes them all back.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. So this one will...
I mean, it might be. I need to refresh,
too. Yeah, because
I need
I'm pretty sure
too.
It's three, because I was downloading the trailer to add it to the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty sure I saw it in the trailer, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is the first one where they went a little supernatural with Freddy. Well, not that he was already supernatural, but they went a little more bizarre. But we'll talk about that next week. So next week on the podcast, Long is going to crap himself as we watch Nightmare on Elm Street. Dream Warriors.
That's Matt's revenge for jump scare.
Matt's revenge.
But as always, thank you for listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. And go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com for all your podcast needs, Twitters, Facebooks, and all that good stuff. And getting closer, I swear, to launch the fucking Patreon. Very soon. Hopefully by the middle of the month. So mm-hmm. I've just been brainstorming ideas for rewards on it.
There we go.
Getting closer. But as always, thanks for listening. And this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long the Slasher.
Until next time, go out there and do something spooky, but nothing illegal.
Yes, nothing
and
illegal.
And thanks for listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and just
go there and do it.
I'm going to get you.
This is James O'Barr on Rebel Radio. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you're listening to Rebel Radio Podcast, and this is Jay Muse. Snooch to the nooch. Go there and do it.